The Supreme Court's going to take over the headlines tomorrow with a much-anticipated ruling on a health care reform challenge. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in this week for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes after 7 on Wednesday, June 27th. Obamacare, or more formally the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act, will get a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or maybe even a thumb sideways from the High Court tomorrow. And on this week's big question, I'll get two takes. Will the United States be better off with or without Obamacare? My guests both join me by phone this hour. Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. Good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
And Robert Craig is executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Great to be here.
Thanks to both of you for joining us this morning. Let's start with you, Grace Marie Turner. Why would we be better off without this health care law?
You know, the American people didn't like the way the law was passed. They didn't like that so many deals were made to get this through. They feel they were shut out of the process. Yes, all of us know we need health reform. But this centralized government control over so many decisions with 159 new boards and commissions and mandates on individuals and businesses and states is not the right approach. So it's not that we don't need health reform. They didn't get this right. So we've got to start over with sensible reform that engages the American people in the conversation to move forward to get this right and pass legislation that comports with our Constitution.
Robert Craig, why should the law stay?
Well, it's actually a very moderate and market-based reform that moves us forward, but it actually contains a number of provisions that were supported by conservatives, including the individual mandate and health insurance exchanges, and told President Obama embrace them. And I think the biggest problem we face is the unbelievable conservative response to the law to try to undermine it at every turn. And, you know, the idea that the government takeover was named the lie of the year by PolitiFact in 2010. And so that's our major problem. And in fact, 2 years ago, most people thought this was clearly constitutional. There was almost no chance, I'm talking about legal scholars, of the court overturning it. Now the right-wing spin machine has created an environment where the court actually could overturn parts of this law or even the whole law, which is an amazing situation. And the problem is we'll be back at ground zero. It usually takes 10 years to get back to health care reform after a reform proposal dies. And we have skyrocketing health care costs we can't afford. Even Medicare is at risk because of that. And we would lose provisions that would protect people from discrimination based on pre-existing conditions. A whole number of popular provisions, which actually are popular in and of themselves. People just don't understand what's in the whole law because of misinformation. But the parts of it are very popular.
Grace Marie Turner, are there parts of this law that would be worth saving, either if the Supreme Court picks and chooses, or in a new health care law?
Well, yes, there are things that this law does. There was the 26-year-olds on their parents' policies. Actually, insurance companies have said, we can continue to do that. It costs more money, but yes, we'll continue to do that. The pharmaceutical companies, I think, are going to continue to provide some help through the donut hole. A lot of these problems could have been solved with market reform. And I never supported the individual mandate, and only the Heritage Foundation, so far as I know, ever did. Most of the policy community said, you know, if you do an individual mandate, you're going to then have to decide what qualifies as government health insurance. Then you're going to have so much infrastructure to support that you can only move toward more and more government control over the health sector, not individual consumer control. What we need are incentives for people to purchase health insurance. And Robert's right. Cost is at the top of the agenda. How do we make health care and health coverage more affordable so more people can access it? What we've learned from the Congressional Budget Office and others is that this law is actually increasing costs. Costs are already going up, and Jonathan Gruber, who was one of the analysts that helped structure this law, said that in some areas he believes that health insurance premiums will go up by 30% as a result of this law. So we didn't solve the core problem, which was cost, and that is really a linchpin in solving the access problem, which is why we've got to go back and get this right. The exchanges and the mandates that were structured in this law are really central to the government control people, and that we need to move instead toward the right kind of incentive for people to get care and coverage.
I want to peel apart a couple of points there for you to respond to, Robert Craig. First of all, the issue of cost. Costs are going up despite the Obamacare law, maybe because of it. What do you think?
They certainly aren't going up because of it. In fact, the major features of it are not implemented until 2014. They're skyrocketing. We've had a doubling of health insurance premiums in Wisconsin since 2000. And quite frankly, the only solution on the table is the Affordable Care Act. There are provisions within it that could lead us to new payment systems that change the incentives in the market for preventive care, primary care, chronic disease management, evidence-based medicine, accountable care organizations, a whole lot of reforms that could make our system both higher quality and lower cost over time. Quite frankly, if this is scuttled by the Supreme Court, which would really be a Supreme Court intervention into our government that we haven't seen since the New Deal. There hasn't been a major economic reform overturned by the court, passed by Congress since the New Deal. If we do that, it's going to be years before we can have a comprehensive reform program. In addition, we have the problem of a conservative movement that literally is calling socialistic and a violation of the Constitution provisions they supported for decades. And so you wonder how far the ball will keep moving if we have to go back to the beginning of this debate. So I think this is the only thing we have on the table, and it is a moderate market-based reform that for the first time in American history assures that there is somewhere to go for people to get affordable health insurance without facing discrimination by the health insurance industry. And without that, we're back to square one. It'll take years, probably over a decade even, to get to a national health care reform debate again in this country.
Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. It's our big question segment. We're talking about health care, the Obamacare reforms. Would we be better off with or without them in this country? Talking to Robert Craig and Grace Marie Turner on either side of that question. If you have a question about a portion of the bill and want to get their take on it, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email talk@WPR.org. Grace Marie Turner, you've said we need a more market-based reform. Robert Craig is saying, hey, there are some major components here that are market-based. Those don't go far enough, I take it?
Well, but you just can't call it exchanges and expect that because you've taken the label, that all the infrastructure and the way it's designed is really is a market-based reform. When you have exchanges that are going to be required to provide one of four different kinds of coverage, platinum, gold, silver, and bronze, and the government is deciding what the deductibles will be, what the benefits are going to have to be. The preventive care mandate already is, several dozen different mandated procedures that people must be able to have in their employer health insurance plans and certainly in the exchanges at no cost to the consumer. Well, that's a great thing, but it can't help but increase costs. We've already seen some of the provisions with the student health plans. Some universities are facing cost increases of 200-300% because they now have to comply with the rules of the law. Some universities are dropping coverage. What I worry is that we're going to wind up with more people who have coverage now either dropping out of the market voluntarily, saying, they're going to have to sell me a policy anytime that I want it, so why should I pay premiums all along? I'll just wait to buy it when I need it. We're already seeing that in Massachusetts. We're already seeing employers looking at the option of saying, if I pay a $2,000 fine, I can avoid health insurance costs of $6,000 or $7,000, and my employees can go to the exchanges. So you wind up with people likely losing the coverage they have now. McKinsey and Company said as many as 80 million people will lose the coverage they have now. Doesn't mean they're all going to lose coverage, but many of them are going to wind up in these government-run exchanges, which is not where they want to get their health coverage. They want to have more choice, more portability, more options for the kind of coverage that suits them and their families, and not have these choices dictated by the government.
Robert Craig, too many government mandates may be driving employers away from providing coverage and people away from coverage. Do you buy it?
Oh, not at all. In fact, the mandates that Grace Marie is talking about are things like mandated cancer screenings and colonoscopies and screenings that actually will save money. What's happening is now, or before we had the Affordable Care Act, is the insurance companies were charging large deductibles for life-saving preventive screenings because they thought they wouldn't get the cost savings. It would be passed on to another insurance company or onto Medicare. The exchanges themselves create a lot more consumer control and choice than people have now. They have a choice of a large number of private health insurance plans. They choose which one they're going to take. They compete with each other, but the exchanges outlaw the worst insurance industry abuses. They have to sell insurance to everyone. They have to not charge higher rates if you have health conditions. They can't discriminate based on gender. Right now, women pay much higher rates. They limit how much you can charge based on age. So it's really talking about a much fairer kind of competition with the abuses taken out and a lot more control and choice. And the disturbing thing is that exchanges were invented by Republicans and conservatives, but are now being termed as socialistic, which also a violation of individual freedom, which makes you wonder what happens if we concede more ground and try to adopt other conservative reform principles. In other words, there seems to be a lot of bad faith here as far as the overall, I don't mean the speaker on the phone, but in general, as far as the healthcare debate and how it's been characterized and how conservatives have taken it on and insurance industries have taken it on in this country since the law, the debate, and since the passage of the Affordable Care Act.
More discussion coming up on the anticipated Supreme Court decision on Obamacare and whether we'd be better off with or without the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act. Today in the weather, hot and sunny, heat advisory for parts of west central Wisconsin from 1 to 8 p.m., highs in the 80s and 90s, a bit cooler near the Great Lakes. It'll stay hot the next couple days, partly cloudy tonight, slight chance of rain in the northwest, lows 65 to 75, highs mainly in the 80s and 90s for the rest of the week. Right now in Milwaukee, 68 degrees, Green Bay 64, Appleton 69, Eau Claire 77 already, Wausau 65, Superior 68, Stevens Point 65. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine this week. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine this week here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the big question segment this hour. Our big question, would the United States be better off with or without Obamacare? You can go to WPR.org/joy to participate in our online survey. You can also get there from our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show. Look at some things coming up this week. The ruling from the Supreme Court on health care is supposed to come out tomorrow morning. Kathleen Dunn is planning to talk about that at 10, Ben Marin's at 4. Then we'll round up reactions Friday morning at 7 here on the morning show. So you've got that to look forward to. Right now, talking to Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute, Robert Craig with Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Before we go to the phones, Grace Marie Turner, I want to give you a chance to respond to a point Robert Craig made or a claim that conservatives keep kind of moving the goal line. In effect, he's saying they supported some of these things, but they keep backing away every time something is conceded. They change the game plan. A response to that?
Well, I think there's really a different philosophy. First of all, I do agree with Robert that, yes, what we want is a system in which consumers have more choice. People with job-based insurance, too often, it's take it or leave it. They take the plan their employer offers, one or two plans, maybe if they're lucky, or they're on their own, and then they have to pay higher prices for health insurance and don't get the special tax break. So there are solutions to help people get health insurance that is portable and which they're making the decisions. But the way that this was structured just brought too much government control so that people wind up with fewer choices, those choices really being dictated by government. And basically the rate, leveling out of rate that Robert is talking about is a form of price controls. Young people are going to be forced to pay higher premiums so that older people can pay less. Men will be forced to pay higher premiums so that women can pay less. That may be a good goal, but you have to realize that the consequences are likely to be that more young people and more men are likely to drop out of the pool. So the prices then wind up going up for everyone. We've seen this happen in Washington State, in New York State, in New Jersey, where they control the rates and more people drop out. So those that are left have higher and higher health expenditures. The costs go up and up and up. And then you see in Washington State, for example, most of the carriers pulling out of the market, in which you lose all competition. So if you don't build this on true consumer choice. So consumers are deciding what they can, what they want and what they can afford, have health insurance over time that's guaranteed, that they own, where they own the contract. They can take it with them from state to state, from job to job, from the workforce to retirement. People should be able to own that policy, and they decide what's in it, not 2,700 pages of legislation and now 12,000 pages and counting of regulation to dictate from Washington how the system has to work. That's not what the American people want.
Quick response, Robert Craig, before we go to the phones.
Yeah, I think Grace Marie is probably is quite authentic in wanting reform of a conservative type. I just don't think the system or the Republican Party will produce it. I think the values she expressed are correct. They're most achieved in the Affordable Care Act. That is, if you want a place where everyone can get insurance no matter what, always has a backup to the employer-based health care system, no matter what, it's the Affordable Care Act. If this is overturned or repealed, we won't have that for over a decade. That's the choice we actually face.
Jillian in Madison joins us now. Hi, Jillian.
Yes, good morning. We don't have a health system in this country. We have a for-profit system. I think there is a really, really clear solution to all of this back and forth. Nothing is working and prices are going up. And that is Medicare works for those over 65. Open up to everybody and you'll find that things will be a whole lot better for everybody.
Medicare for All, that was a solution that was dismissed pretty early on. Robert Craig, what do you think of that?
Well, it's been dismissed not because it's not good policy. The policy works very well, but because of the political problem of facing a united insurance industry and the whole healthcare industry in general, taking shots at it, spending millions to destroy it. But ironically, in the Supreme Court oral arguments, even Justice Scalia seemed to indicate that it would be constitutional or said it directly. And so if they strike down a market-based solution, which is what the Affordable Care Act is, well, there'll be a lot more chance of eventually passing Medicare for All, because it will be the only constitutional way to actually make sure everyone has access to quality, affordable health care in this country.
Grace Marie Turner, Medicare for All, better or worse than the current plan before the Supreme Court?
Well, it's a single-payer system, and the president has said that that is ultimately where he would like to go. But the American people have said they do not want a government-controlled health care system, which is what Medicare for All would be. And we have to be realistic. Medicare, as it's currently structured, is going bankrupt. It is $38 trillion in the red. We spend more than $200 billion a year, more every year, on Medicare just for the 47 million people who are on it today. If we put everybody on Medicare, we simply can't afford it unless we restructure the program, give people more choice, bring in more competition, which is really the philosophy we're talking about all along, giving people more choices of the kind of insurance that works for them, and having insurers and doctors and hospitals and other providers responding to people as patients, not having to answer to the dictates of bureaucrats. That's the real difference.
Mark in Oconomowoc joins us next. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. It seems to me I remember the Affordable Health Care Act of 93 or 94 when the Republicans put forth their bill when Clintons were working on health care reform, which is the last time we had anything on it. And looking back at that bill, which I read through, it's strikingly similar to what the Obamacare, as it's called now, is. The very same Republicans that are lambasting the current legislation are the ones that were saying that the individual mandate and the very same tenets of the Affordable Health Care Act today were a necessity if they were going to keep a private market. So really, what is the difference between those two, and then why the 180-degree difference in the Republican support of it?
About a minute each for a response to that. Let's start with Grace Marie Turner.
The Clinton Health Security Act, you're absolutely right, Mark. There are a number of provisions in that law that are really structural to the health law that the Obama administration has gotten to, has enacted. But the American people rejected that in 93-94, just as they're rejecting this. This was passed because of a five-month period in which there was both a Democratic president and Democrat control in both houses of Congress, but it's not what the American people want. And as you keep talking about individuals, the individual mandate, only a very few people supported an individual mandate. Most of us saw where this was going and that we need to solve this problem with incentives. The problem with Republicans is that they didn't take enough action to really take to do health reform when they had a chance between Obamacare and Hillary Care. And now I think they've got religion. They know they've got to get to work and do something and solve these problems.
Robert Craig, about a minute for a response.
Caller's right. It's very disturbing that the Republican alternative to the Clinton health care plan included many of the features, including the individual mandate, that are in the Affordable Care Act and now are being assaulted virulently by conservatives and Republicans. And so it does raise a question about how much more the goalposts will be moved. It suggests that there's really just an attempt to defend the status quo and to prevent any fundamental reform, which is, of course, unsustainable, both for Medicare and for our health care system. If you think about the individual mandate, it really just says that a very small number of people who would not buy health insurance, even if it was made affordable to them, should be required to do it, should be responsible, because they're actually asking everyone else to insure them if they get sick or they're in an accident. And that small group of free riders is being defended here against a million people in Wisconsin who have a pre-existing condition that would get them denied coverage if they ever had to buy insurance on their own or if they work for a small business. And so I think the rights of those people far outweigh this small group of free riders that conservatives and Republicans are now defending. But that it's also ironic, as the caller pointed out, that Republicans were the originators of and supported the individual mandate and told President Obama embraced it until he embraced exchanges.
I'll jump in there, Robert Craig. That's Robert Craig with Citizen Action of Wisconsin. We also have Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, on this big question. Would we be better off with or without the President Obamacare health care reforms? Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. The news is next. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. This hour, it's the big question, and we are looking at health care. The Supreme Court is considering and tomorrow will release its opinion on a challenge to the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. We're asking our two guests, would we be better off with or without that health care plan? Call in with your questions for them at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Also go to WPR.org/joy. Participate in our online survey. And at the end of this hour, about the last 10 minutes, it'll be your chance to sound off. For or against, 800-642-1234. Our guest this hour, Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. He's making the case for keeping the law. Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. She is opposed to it. Well, now we know what both of you hope will happen tomorrow, I think, but let me ask for your predictions on what you think will happen. First, Robert Craig, what are you expecting the Supreme Court to do tomorrow?
Well, predicting the Supreme Court is dangerous. It's like a black box. And, you know, I was in D.C. recently, and it was like Kremlinology trying to figure out what they're going to do. But, you know, 2 years ago, and even in before oral arguments, majority of legal scholars thought the individual mandate is clearly constitutional, going back 70 years, in interpretations of federal power. At this point, the conservatives have done such a good job of drumming up this case, and you have a conservative majority on the court, I think there's a substantial chance they strike out the individual mandate. They may then also, which would be much more dangerous, take out also the requirement that insurance companies sell policies to everyone and not charge discriminatory rates. That would be very bad. Least likely, I would say, would be that they strike down the entire law, though that's not impossible.
Grace Marie Turner, I think probably all three of us can agree that it's difficult to predict what the Supreme Court will do, but what's your best guess?
Well, the key issue before the court, I mean, there are four different issues, but the key is the question of the individual mandate. Can the federal government, for the first time, tell us how we have to spend our after-tax money on a private product that may cost as much as $20,000 a year for a family under penalty of federal law every year for the rest of their lives? And that's really the question. Can the Commerce Clause of the Constitution be used to compel people to enter commerce so that can be regulated? That's really, as more and more people have looked at that, as people listen to the oral arguments, they began to realize that's taking the Commerce Clause too far. So I do believe that the court will strike the individual mandate. I believe it's possible that they will strike all of Title I, which is everything. The mandate is the center pole in the tent of the exchanges and the subsidies and the structures and all the insurance regulation. They may say that we can't sever that because many people have said they wouldn't have passed this without the individual mandate, and that's really the question the court has to ask. What would they have passed if they take out this core provision? That is really the question before the court. So I think we could lose a lot of the subsidies, which is going to get us right quickly back into a conversation about what are you going to do then to help millions more people get coverage. So I think that Robert is saying that it's going to be another 10 years. I don't think so. I think Congress already is moving to say, what are we going to do with our replace strategy? Paul Ryan from Wisconsin is talking about real Medicare reform, not the doubling down on the price controls and cutting rates to physicians 30%, as this law will do. He says, no, we have to get into a program that's going to really save the program money and really modernize it for the 21st century. So I think it'll put us on a path to real reform if all our part of this law is struck down.
Robert Craig, are you optimistic about Congressman Ryan's plan in that instance?
Not at all, because Congressman Ryan's plan is cost-shifting onto seniors rather than actually saving any money at all, which the Affordable Care Act tries to do by making the system more efficient and more effective. And so I don't think there'll be any kind of bipartisan consensus on this at all, partly because of what I said before, that conservatives keep moving the goalpost. They were for the provisions they now say are terrible and outrageous and unconstitutional. But, you know, there's kind of a tension in what Grace Marie is saying. She's been talking throughout the show so far about kind of lack of faith in government and democracy and how we can't have the government involved, but then she has faith that Congress will fix this system if Supreme Court steps in a very activist court and takes out key portions of the law. So I don't see why she'd have such faith in Congress or in our processes. And I don't have faith that conservatives will actually come to the table and work this out in a way that actually guarantees affordable health care for everyone in this country.
Craig in Alaska is with us now. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. My comment is that conservatives always rail against any government input into health care. They seem to feel that insurance companies are the way to go, and I find that to be kind of funny in the fact that insurance companies want to make money. They control who gets health care, at what level, what's covered. They deny cases all the time where people that even have health insurance are denied. So I don't find that is a workable solution. I think we need to go strongly towards a universal. There's a lot of hidden costs when you don't have insurance and you go to the emergency room and have to pay high costs there, and that's covered by the taxpayer. So I find this market-based argument somewhat silly because it hasn't worked in the past, and I don't think it's going to work in the future. I think.
Oops, sorry, cut you off there, Craig. To get a response from Grace Marie Turner, he's saying the market isn't working now. Why would more market work better?
Well, two points. We see when people make their own choices about health insurance in a competitive market with health savings accounts, for example, they wind up saving money. That is really the only sector in the whole health sector. Where costs have been level over several years because people are making good decisions. They're more likely to get preventive care, according, again, to McKinsey and Company studies. And they save money because they are making decisions about I'm putting some of the savings from the premium into this account to pay for routine care, and I'm only going to call on the insurance when I have, you know, a major medical experience. And so you need help, financial help. With the Medicare prescription drug benefit, which was structured in a way that gives seniors choice of competing plans, that plan is coming in at 47% below CBO projected estimates. And it's because seniors are picking the plan that's best for them, that provides the best benefits at the lowest cost. We have an army of consumers out there who could be informed to pick the coverage that works best for them, force the market to compete. We're not doing that now. Consumers are at the will of either their employers, their Medicare program, their Medicaid program, their VA program, instead of having people be able to have choices in a truly competitive marketplace, which we do not have, then you're not going to be able to solve this with more and more government regulation. We see where that goes.
On Facebook, Joseph writes, certain parts of the health care law are good. Republicans need to realize that most people who don't want that government mandate still want reform. If they don't get on board with that logic, they will lose in the end, and then we will all lose. Grace Marie Turner, you might not agree with the certain parts of the law are good, but it sounds like you agree with him that Republicans do need to do something.
No question about it. And I've already I see lots of members that already are taking a lead on Medicaid reform, Medicare reform, medical liability reform, helping people to deal with pre-existing conditions by giving more power to the states to create those pools. Individual members are taking ownership of that, and they are going to begin marching forward. But it's not going to be in one gigantic bill. It's going to be step-by-step approach to going through the committee procedures on the different parts so that the American people can gauge this and be part of that conversation. That's what we need.
Before we wrap up, Robert Craig, I wanted to get your thoughts on something Grace Marie Turner said earlier. If the individual mandate is rejected by the court, does the rest of the bill come tumbling down with it?
It doesn't. It's not the centerpiece. Its function literally is to make sure most people are in the market paying in rather than waiting until they're sick in order to buy coverage, which would make it the whole system unsustainable. You could do that through a number of other mechanisms, limited enrollment periods, late enrollment fees, and so you can actually fix it if we have the political will at the federal level or in the states like Wisconsin where Walker's refused to implement the Affordable Care Act. If we had the political will to work together, we could fix that problem. But really, this is the last gasp, Rob, of market-based reform. What it attempts to do is take immoral activity by the insurance companies, profiting based on only insuring healthy people, kicking people off their policies, and outlawing those practices, like we outlawed child labor 100 years ago. If this doesn't work, there's going to be much more of a, and if the Supreme Court makes it constitutionally impossible, which depends how far they go in their decision, then there's going to be much more of a push for a Medicare for all kind of approach from progressives. And I think that's going to take years to get there, though. I don't think Republicans or conservatives are serious about reforming this system. They're actually trying to defend the status quo. That's why they keep opposing positions they supported for decades once they're embraced by Democrats like President Obama.
I want to wrap up by just giving each of you about a minute to talk about your hopes for what the Supreme Court says tomorrow and your quick best case for health care in this country. Robert Craig, Citizen Action Wisconsin, let's start with you.
I hope the court either upholds the law or what it strikes down is something that we can fix. I think if they take out the individual mandate, we can fix that, and we have to work to do that because the only way we're going to guarantee once and for all that people will not face discrimination, that there'll be somewhere to go to buy health insurance that's affordable through all of life's transitions, and we'll regulate this market, take out the immoral practices, and make it work for this country is the Affordable Care Act. And so I hope they uphold it or they damage it only a little by taking up the individual mandate, which, as I said, from a policy standpoint, is fixable. The main problem is going to be conservative resistance to even fixing the problems the Supreme Court may cause tomorrow.
Grace Marie Turner, same question. Your hopes for tomorrow and beyond in health care.
Well, just to respond quickly to what Robert said, the government's attorneys defending Obamacare said at least 14 times in the Florida court hearings that the individual mandate was structural to the law. There is a reason that they did not put a severability clause in the legislation, and some of the authors have said it's because we felt the individual mandate was so central to the workings of the overall law. And yes, Robert's right, there are other ways to incentivize people to get coverage, but in order to do that, we really need to start with a clean slate. The health law is increasing taxes, It's harming Medicare. It's not fixing Medicaid. It's increasing health care costs. It's threatening the coverage that people have through their employer coverage. And it's putting government in charge of decisions about how the health sector is going to work rather than consumers. We need to start from a different position, and that is consumer-controlled health insurance, patient-centered health care. To do that, we've got to start with a clean slate. I am sorry that we weren't able to get to bipartisan to agreement on Obamacare. There was a serious effort taking place to get to bipartisan reform, and that was short-circuited. We're going to have to get back there because this is not going to work with just Republican votes. We're going to have to come to bipartisan agreement. There are a lot of things that the policy can agree on, policy community can agree on, and I think politicians, but we've got to start from a different standpoint.
Thanks to both of our guests on this week's Big Question, Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, Robert Craig, executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Now it's your turn. You can sound off on this week's Big Question. Would the United States be better off with or without Obamacare? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you type fast, you can email talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. Quick look at the weather. Today, hot and sunny. Heat advisory for parts of west central Wisconsin in the afternoon. Highs in the 80s and 90s. Lows 65 to 75 tonight. Slight chance of rain in the northwest. Hot and sunny for the rest of the week. Milwaukee, 69 degrees right now. Green Bay, 66. La Crosse, 72. Madison, 68. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret here, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My next guest after 8, talking about the history of one of the most popular toys in human history, the ball. Why do we love to play ball? That's coming up after 8. This hour, it's the big question. Would we be better off with or without the Patient Protection and Affordable Health Care Act, or Obamacare? Your chance to sound off now at 800-642-1234 or talk@WPR.org. Keep it to no more than 30 seconds so we can give a lot of people a chance to sound off. Boyd in Milwaukee starts us off. Hi there, Boyd.
Good morning, Rob. A few things. Well, I think people always have to remember, and I said this last week, that healthcare is a social responsibility. We pay more than any other industrialized nation, and we don't have much really to show for it. I think I think most people actually want to have a single-payer system, and they're critical of Obamacare because it doesn't go far enough.
Gotcha. That was your 30 seconds. Thanks a lot, Boyd. Matt in Green Bay. No, let's go to John in Oak Creek now. Hi, John.
Hi. I think the debate is really on whether the government is going to control our health care or the insurance industry is going to control our health care, and we know that doesn't work. As we've all heard, we pay the most for insurance than anybody, and we get the least. And the American public has not flatly rejected Obamacare. The American public hasn't been given the chance to do that yet.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, John. Tom emails from Wausau. He says the whole Affordable Health Care Act is a disaster. It doesn't solve the problems, the biggest of which is cost. Thanks for sharing your thoughts, Tom. You can join in, 800-642-1234, talk@WPR.org. Matt is with us from Green Bay now. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. Real quick, number one, full support of the act. I think we should have it. Number two, administrative costs in any other country are roughly 5% of the spend on health insurance. Ours are 20% plus. Look at the other states that are getting rebates from insurance companies that have been gouging. It's time to get something done and to uphold this law. I'm sick of hearing the right side always tell the American people what the American people wants. It's a ploy. It's just not right.
All right. Thanks
for
the
American people want something done.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Steve is with us now in Toma. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I just want to say that I've spent about 10 years in Europe. My wife is from the Netherlands. Socialized medicine, Obamacare is not really all what it's hacked up to be when you realize the additional cost that everybody has to pay for free socialized medicine. So I just think that people need to really do the research and look in other countries before they make a decision on it for America.
So you're hoping for repeal from the Supreme Court tomorrow?
Absolutely. I don't think we need it. I think there's other things that we ought to be looking at for our health care.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve, for calling in. John in Appleton joins us now. Hi, John.
Yes, a previous caller mentioned that we have the most expensive health care system in the world. I would, you know, in the discussion on the health care bill and all the comparisons to other countries, I determined that we also have the most market-based health care system in the world, and I think there's a definite correlation between those two. Making it more market-based, more profit-based, will simply make it more expensive.
All right. Thanks for chiming in, John. Now Lenny is with us in Madison. Hi, Lenny.
Hi. All I want to say is I don't like the idea that health care is profit-motivated. And if the Supreme Court acts tomorrow to strike down either the whole thing or the mandate, what are we going to do? What are the people that don't have insurance and have no hope of getting insurance? We going to wait another 10 years?
Thanks for calling, Lenny. A couple lines have opened up now. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. To Paul in Rhinelander now. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you doing, young man?
Pretty good. What's your thought?
My thought is two things. It's media, of course, and everybody says the liberal media, which is no such animal because 90% of all media outlets are owned by big corporations, number one.
Quick, healthcare.
Healthcare. Nobody ever says that the Pope about 2 or 3 months ago said that health care is an inalienable right. Nobody talks about it. I want to talk about it. And number three, Medicare is not the problem. The health care system is the problem. Medicare is only 25% of the health care system, and we spend twice as much as any other industrialized country of the top 100.
Gotcha.
And
thanks, Paul, for the call. Got a lot of other callers who want to get in. Dave in Wanakee is with us next. Hi.
Yes, hello. I think we've already heard the Republican health care plan. It was mentioned in a debate, not by any of the candidates, but by a member of the audience. It's let them die. Fits on a bumper sticker, perfectly expresses Republican conservative ideas about health care. Let them die.
Thanks for calling in, Dave. Email from Margaret on Margaret on Facebook says there are definitely parts of the healthcare law that I think are valid. The most important one is ensuring that people will not be turned away from insurance coverage because of a pre-existing condition. Thanks for that Facebook comment, Margaret. And now Karen in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Karen.
Hi, I'm for Obamacare. Our family has personally suffered setbacks because we're forced onto COBRA because of a pre-existing condition, wiped out our savings. We have a disabled son who was kicked off of my insurance because he wasn't disabled enough. And I tried to get him on Badger Care. There was a waiting list. I mean, these are stories all over. The Republicans, the conservatives, and the Coke-based woman you had on there, they all...
All right, that'll do, Karen. Thanks. Ellen in Brookfield is with us next.
Hi, I'm much in favor of it. I would like to make it better, make it universal. My husband and my brother were diagnosed with lung cancer on the same day. My husband had insurance. My brother did not. My brother was dead in 6 days. My husband lived 13 months because he had insurance.
All right, thanks for the call, Ellen, and sorry about all those medical problems in the family. Sarah in Zion, Illinois is with us next.
Hi, I'm in favor. I didn't like it at first, but... then I found out about the pre-existing condition programs, and I haven't been able to get health insurance for years because I have pre-existing conditions. It's the only way that I can get insurance.
All right. Thanks for the call. One more quick call from Al in Milwaukee. Al, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. I'm against the bill. I think what we need to fix the healthcare system is massive deregulation. A drastic increase in the competition in healthcare service providing markets and a sound monetary unit of account, which we do not have in this country. And that's the solution to our problem.
Thanks for the call, Al. And that'll be the last word on air on the subject. You can keep going on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, and at WPR.org/joy with our survey. So far, the support Obamacare side is ahead. You can cast your vote, WPR.org/joy. Bill Martins, Amanda Magnus, Naya Mukherjee, thanks to all of them for producing this morning's programs. I'm Rob Ferret here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.